And good morning again. Good morning. On behalf of all the people with April birthdays, I want to say thank you for all the warm wishes this morning. All of us who have April birthdays just feel a little bit older than we did a few minutes ago. This morning, we're going to do something a little bit different. David Nance is here with me, and we're going to have a discussion about what it means to us, I guess, to be an elder here at Central. We're going to talk a little bit about ourselves, and maybe, and I don't know if you've been around the two of us together or not, but David and I have been friends for pushing on 30 years, and
just
we have
shy, but not very, very close. Yeah,
and so. We tend to have interesting conversations, and so we're hoping to share an interesting conversation with you. So I guess by getting started, David, you've been at Central a little while, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I've been here since 93. I guess it's rather interesting because the first time Susie and I came here, we came from California. We walked in and we're kind of looking around, kind of looking for a church. And some of the first people we met were Jan and Jamie. And it's rather interesting because I think right off the bat, we were invited to at least two different Bible studies. We were given phone numbers, kind of made feel welcome. And I think that was shortly after we were at their home eating, and they've kind of invited us, brought us in. So we felt really apart really quick of the congregation. So we kind of merged in real quickly. There was a whole lot of people moving in about that time. That was one of the problems that we experienced, just to a little levity, is the fact that my company moved me here. So I didn't have any problem moving, but I got here and all these people were living in apartments, and so we got to move a lot of people real quickly. It was a lot of fun. People buying houses and moving. It was a lot of fun. Anyway.
Yes.
You've been here a little bit longer than that, but go ahead.
So I guess my first contact with Central was through Kim Story and Alan Wright and some of the others who had gone down to Guyana in 1988. I actually met some of the folks from Central in Miami, and a few years later, I took a job here as a co-op student and ended up settling here as my church home when I was here during those co-op semesters. And met some great men who are influences on me, like Clyde Jones and Richard Brown and so many others. And it wasn't too much longer until I met Jan and we got married and met you guys. And ever since then, I guess we've both been here together in so many ways. So, our experiences have been very similar here.
They have. And also, I think some of our backgrounds, both of us grew up going to church, being part of the Churches of Christ and family. And so I think some of our experiences go back even further. There are some differences. I guess my family has always been, I guess, for the last two or three generations, have been members of the Churches of Christ. So I grew up in that kind of environment. Also, I grew up in the Shoals area kind of area. So that's kind of near the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. You didn't have that experience. Yours was different.
No. Both my parents were converted in their late teens and came out of certainly broken homes. And that had a lot of influence on how they decided to raise us as children. They grew up in West Tennessee, about 4 hours from here. However, they met each other in Maryland somehow and ended up moving to Florida. So I grew up in the socks of the Bible Belt. And it was a very different world for me. So yes. It's very different than North Alabama. I grew up in a community that had a very large Jewish population, a very large Catholic population. You go around here, folks kind of know what a Church of Christ is. And where I grew up, no one knew what it was. It was a different experience. And I think that, you know, I also was very fortunate, and I grew up in a very positive church environment that was very encouraging.
That's neat. Yeah. So the families, we mentioned some here. What kind of people did you know growing up that were really formative for you? I mean, help you kind of become who you are? I mean, it's some of the men or whatever people, it's well, leadership, spiritual leaders.
I think first and foremost was, you know, a lot of my family, my dad, my mom, uncles, aunts, grandparents. I was always, and there's more to the story that we can tell another day, but some of my extended family became, got to know God through what happened to my parents. But I had a lot, as I grew up, I had a lot of positive experience there. But then also in the church, men like Chuck Lipford, Arnold Smead, and some others who were, who I grew up with in Orlando, some who've gone on before, some who are still with us, were very big influences on me. And then later on, when I was at North Atlanta in college, people like Phil Waldron and Bill Wong, and then here, I've mentioned, you know, people like Clyde, people like Richard, Ed Smith, but then people like you, David, and people like Robert and others that I've known for many, many years, where we've spent many times talking late at night about problems in life and how do we live by faith.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time on those. Yeah, there were some late nights involved in there. That's true. Some of the people that I knew, I guess some of the men that had a huge influence on me, of all of them, I think the one that I have to point at as having the most, of course, was my dad. When I was really young, he was an elder for a little while, and he actually stepped down because I was so young, and he said, I can't do this with the young children. And so he stepped down from that position at that point. But he had a huge influence on me. Huge, not just, you know, obviously the normal things you think of a father would have, but there's just lots of things I look at him and I think of him as a role model. There's a lot of things of his life, his compassion for people, his love for people, his desire to be in the Word. Many mornings he'd get up well before the rest of us in our house and be like 3 or 4 in the morning or 5 in the morning. He'd go jog and then he'd come back and he'd read his Bible and sit there and pray and such. And that was huge for me. Then, of course, like you said, there are several men here who've been extremely big and influential. Like you said, the Ed Smith and Richard and just so many people here. In fact, it's funny because if you start naming them, you start missing people because there's just lots of people who've done a big thing for me. One of the things when I was younger, a big challenge I got was my brother challenged me to read the scriptures. My oldest brother had another brother who was into drugs, and that's another story. Sometime I'll tell you about that, but my oldest brother challenged me when I was like 20 years old. I grew up in the scriptures, grew up reading kind of at the Bible, but never actually sat down and read the Bible all the way through. And his challenge to me to do that was kind of inspiring because it's totally changed my life. After reading through the Bible the first time and thinking, yeah, I know this, you know, I know the trivia, I was raised going to church and going to schools and things like this. When you read it, you go, this doesn't say what I thought. Man, my goodness, I didn't understand less than a tenth of that first time I read it. And so I understand people coming back and reading the scripture going, I don't get that. I don't understand. It's, if you keep listening, it's not so much the Bible itself, it's the God of the Bible. When you start reading and you start hearing Him speak to you, and it kind of just opens your eyes to this is something totally different. So I'm kind of moving in our conversation here a little bit, but this is really what got me tied heavily into the church and got me tied heavily into Scripture is that you start hearing God speak when you read. It's really amazing how you see and hear that. Okay.
And you know, I think that's an important thing. All of us have had critical things in our lives that kind of develop who we are. You had a brother who challenged you. Now, me, on the other hand, I'm not as graceful as you are. One of my big events in my life was I ran into a clothesline and ended up in ICU in a hospital for a period of time. Busted up. And you can say, well, how could that be an impact on you? Well, that's obviously an impact on you. But the confusion, the frustration, the isolation, the fear. And one of the things that really happened that was a big influence on me is during that time, there was not only my home church, but I was injured about 2 hours from home. Another nearby church came in and really supported me and came in. And there was a lot of people visiting with me, praying with me, spending time with me, and really the reassurance in those relationships, especially for me being an introvert guy, and that this is kind of weird, really marked me in a very significant way. It kind of really has continuously, through the rest of my life, motivated me in wanting to make a positive difference in other people.
Interesting. Yeah. It's funny how that some things like that, I know a lot of people in the congregation here, there's so many backgrounds and so many stories of people. And just like you and I, we have these stories. You hear a little bit of us, and it's going to take a while as we've become elders now. Our view of this is going to be, it's going to change as we go. And so a lot of, you know, what do we view elders as being at Central? Well, the truth is, right now, there's not much to tell yet because we've only been here a week. We really want to get to know people. I think there's a lot of desire. There's lots of things we're going to learn. Some trepidation in this. Some fear in this. I mean, and yet, there's so much. And the fear is not fear of, oh my goodness. It's more of a fear of, this is something important. This is really big. God is giving us, and here, I mean, reference the Ephesians 4 passage, how Paul talks to the church there, and he talks about how God gave these people to bring people to maturity. Mm-hmm. In a sense, the idea is not, oh, we're God's gift to something. No, that's not the idea at all. The idea is that we are being given as servants, as people to help you, to help the body here, to grow, to really raise to maturity. That's kind of where we're at, and that's kind of where I'm coming from, too. There's also the fact that we need to learn each other and know each other better. Go ahead.
There's a sense I get in the scriptures, and it's in Ephesians and other places, that God is working through his church.
Yes.
And so often we look at the leaders as the ones who are supposed to be getting things done. I think the reality is we're going to look at Ephesians in a little bit more in a second. But I think that what really needs to happen is the leaders who need to be enabling the church, who are encouraging the church, who are helping the church, so that the church is shining like a city on a hill, so that the church is taking care of the mission of God, so that the church is taking care of each other, kind of like we talked about in this journey we did last year.
Yes. I think it's kind of interesting because what you mentioned of, I began calling some folks, and there's people I've talked to. Of course, in the middle of all this nonsense of, nonsense in a sense, maybe wrong word, there's a strangeness of what's going on with COVID-19 and the all the things that we have to deal with. But, you know, sometimes we look at them and think, well, that is nonsense. Well, no, it's not. You know, they're trying to stop the spread of this virus. They're trying to do things. Got all that. But in the middle of all that, there's not a lot of personal interaction that can happen. And so this is one way we have, and right now I just want to give a little quick shout out. The guys that have done the AV here have done an amazing job. And if you wonder, sometimes people say, it seems a little glitchy, or there's, well, you know, it's just, these things are expensive, they're hard to do. So I understand that. But back to this point is that as I've tried to reach out a few people and talk to folks, I'm finding that a lot of people, and this central is amazing because a lot of people are already reaching out to each other. They're taking care of needs. They're already talking to each other. They're calling on a lot of people. People calling each other, finding out, are you okay? Everything's all going. Mm-hmm. And so what you just said is very, very true. We're trying to encourage those things, but they're already going on largely. And some of these things we're learning as new elders. We're finding out that, man, there's an amazing amount of Christianity, of life going on within the body here that sometimes as just somebody sitting in a pew, I don't know. But now I'm learning and seeing that a lot of people are doing, and we want to just encourage that on more and more. It's really what we're after, is trying to bring and build that up. So what we're doing here, I think, a big part of this is to really, how can we help you? How do we bring this and raise this up to be more of who you are and more of how does Jesus become your life even more?
I think that's good. I think this is a great, this COVID is, there's a lot of, in my experiences at the work, at store and whatnot, there's a lot of frustration, a lot of despair might be a strong word, but you know, a lot of fear out there. And I think the question is how can we as a people, we're supposed to be representing God's hope in the world. How can we show that hope in the world? I think that we can do that in small ways. You know, if we know of people who have needs near us, maybe within the body, maybe outside the body, mm-hmm. You know, instead of, you know, maybe this is an opportunity to use our prayer request list. So let's go ahead and flood Pat's text message channel with needs that we have. If you can't fill the need, but you know someone has a need, maybe you can seek out help from the body to help get it met.
And I think to tie into that really closely, I think, I know Barian has talked to us as elders, and he's actually tied us in already, and to get the idea one, and apart from anyone else knowing, there's a lot of good that's going on within the body here. And we just, those things encourage us. By the way, I want to mention too, we've received a lot of notes, emails, comments, and your prayers. And those things are amazingly encouraging to me. And I know it's true for you. It's true for the other men who've been selected. And we want to thank you very much for those. Those Absolutely. Have been extremely encouraging. And we want to make sure also, you know, please do keep praying for us. And we do really appreciate that.
Yep.
So
let's kind of come back to Ephesians 4 a little bit. You know, one of the things we were asked to talk about was, well, what does it mean to be an elder at Central? And I think at the very core, you know, that Paul tells us God's provided the church with several sorts of types of people, including the shepherds. And their role is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness, and Satan's deceitful schemes. I think I may not have pasted everything in there completely. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I kind of took away from that, from there, some very key things that we elders have got to be engaged in. And one of them is that we've got to be equipping for knowledge, equipping for unity, because unity doesn't come easy.
No, it doesn't.
And we live in a world that's very fractured. A world that's this group and that group and this group and that group. And if we're not careful, we can have little camps within Central. And we can have the Jamie camp and the David camp and the Rondell camp and so on. And we got to equip ourselves. No, we're here because we are united in Christ. There is the idea that we have to move to maturity. And there's the idea that when it gets down to the sound doctrine about stability and soundness of and what we believe. And all those things are very important.
Yeah. As you look through Scripture, it's amazing how God spoke to His people over time, and how He's trying to continue to speak to us today, and how He's trying to use us. And that's kind of, you know, what are the elders supposed to do? Well, there's a lot. There's a lot of things we are called to do. There's a lot of things we're open to look into, and to care for people, to love, to encourage. Maturity is a huge issue. Unity, you mentioned that earlier. Unity is not uniformity, and that's one of the areas we've got to be careful of. We don't want to get caught into, well, we all have to be this. That's not the point. It's in what you are. God called you the way you are to be who you are, but for Him. And I think that's what we're really trying to encourage people to be, is growing into something that God's calling us to be individually. So,
I think one of the things I'd like to talk about is some of the advice that Peter, who was one of the first elders ever, mm-hmm. kind of gave us as elders. And not only us, but kind of gave the whole congregation as advice. And you know, he kind of talked about, you know, the importance of us doing this willingly and selfishly, eagerly and humbly. And I think the current previous, I don't know how you talk about Richard and Chip and those guys and Ed, but the previous elders, they all came and visited us all and talked about, you know, about those things to see if we were truly willing and able. And then one of the things they talked about is that, in a sense, that when you become an elder, the expectation for you rises. You know, you always hear about how in the church, the preacher's on a pedestal, the preacher's mm-hmm. wife and the kids are on a pedestal. And we can talk about whether that's right or wrong, but the reality is that we're stepping up.
Yes, it's interesting because we look at this and we think, yeah, we're to be something. And I don't know exactly what that something sometimes is. It's like you hear people say that kind of thing about elders and elders' children. And of course, if something wild happens in the auditorium one day, and probably be one of my kids or something, not likely. It's possible, you know. They're good kids. I mean, I'm extremely blessed. But people hold you to a standard sometimes. It's not fair in some ways. But the truth is, it's across the board. All of us are to be people who are holy, righteous. God didn't call just elders. He called the entire church to be. And so He calls all of us to a standard that sometimes we hold each other to, but we're not willing to hold ourselves to. And sometimes that's not exactly the best way to be. Sometimes we need to be thinking And I'm not saying this to anyone here, because on the in the connection here or anybody listening, I think we just need to be understanding I'm going to need grace occasionally. And sometimes I'm going to need a lot of it for something. I'm going to say something. The way I deal with stress right now with all the COVID-19 and other things going on, the way I deal with a lot of that's humor. And so I have to be careful. And the way I say things, I have to be careful, because I don't want to say something that would be offensive to anyone. I want to show and do things lovingly and caringly. But if I were to slip up and say something ridiculous, I would beg people to give me the mercy, the grace, just to say, okay, is that the tenor of his life? Is that what he looks like all the time? Or would they go, no, that's not really who you are? And so one thing I think we need to make sure we're clear on is that as leaders, as men coming in here, we're just men. We are not supermen. There is no such thing. I need a seatbelt like you do on an airplane. I ain't flying outside. Okay? We're all the same in this regard. So I want you to know we love the people here. We love you. We care for you. But the same, it's got to be across the board. We need to look at each other and consider closely how we treat each other.
I think all of us in the body of Christ, we're all to a goal is all of us to be that cloud of witnesses that we hear about in Hebrews.
Sure.
And I think that one of the biggest things is that we all mess up, and it is the tenor of life. I just want to read a little bit of 1 Peter 5.
Please do.
Because it's advice to elders. It's advice to the body. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the great God of grace, who has called you to his eternal glory, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And I like those last four words. The fact that when we come into our relationship together with God in humility, and when we depend on him, like he's talking about here, you know, how often do we as people look for confirmation and look for strengthening? And that's something that people look for. And I think this is a good scripture for us to focus on. How do we find that? And part of that is that humility and how we come together.
I agree. It's this conversation we're having now is, it's kind of like some of the ones we've had before. It's very different because we're facing a camera as opposed to each other, and we have to maintain social distance. We'll keep that good. It's very challenging to encourage each other, to build each other up, and to do these things for each other, and now the way we are, the way the society is right now. Except there's still the positive, the comments, the being able to call, being able to from a distance, how do you love? How do you show this? And I think we're learning new ways doing that now. And so there's some of these things we're to be for each other, and I think that's something we're trying to learn even as we go forward here.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I think we want to probably kind of tie up talking about making commitments to the body together.
Okay.
You've got any commitments you think we ought to be making together? And when I say this, these are personal commitments, but I think these are also commitments we make as a group too.
Well, I mean, the biggest thing we've got to keep committed to, I'm committed, one, to the Word. I'm going to commit to Scripture. I think this is one that we all have to commit to at some point or other. We have to commit ourselves to not so much am I caught up in love of the Bible, I'm in love with the God of the Bible and committed to doing what he says and trying to follow him with all my heart. But I'm committed to the congregation here to try to help and encourage and promote and cajole, whatever it takes sometimes, to get people here involved in the Scriptures to become more like Jesus, to drive each other on to become more like Jesus. I think one of the things that as new elders we're going to commit to each other is going to be looking at how do we encourage each other? How do we build each other up? How do we commit to each, and how do we commit to you as our body of how y'all encourage us. How do we work together? That's going to be an ongoing thing. I think the commitment is there that we will drive and do these things. But I'd like to hear your thoughts on that, Jamie.
Well, I would kind of say the same thing kind of backwards. I mean, I hope that we're the kind of people that folks will come to as they're growing in their knowledge of the truth, that they can come to us. I mean, both, for the last 30 years, me and you have been consistently and constantly influencing each other on what the truth of God may mean in our lives and what it may mean absolutely. And I hope that people will keep coming to us, because I don't think that, now that we're being recognized as elders, that doesn't mean that we've somehow arrived. I hope people will keep coming and talking to us and challenging us on what we think, and that we'll be a group of people that can be challenged on what we believe and what we know. And then also, I think it takes a lot of relationship, like you're talking about. But at the same time, I think that we also have a responsibility, and that's the shepherding aspect of things. And when I think of the shepherding, I think of where in John 10, Jesus, talked about what a good shepherd is. And in 1 Peter 5, there's the comparison that's made between us as shepherds and Jesus as a shepherd. And I look at those scriptures and I see that we do have a important role in knowing the flock and taking care of people and making sure that the things that are dangerous are not coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are things we have to do. Those are just, it's part of who we are now. It's part of the job, I think. But I think that's also, again, that's something we're called to, but it's something others are to call to as well. The congregation is called. You're not supposed to go after things. You're called to look in the Word, to be called, and we're trying to help you do that in that way. Not just is it on us, it's on the body as a whole to do these things. I think the idea that people come to us for shepherding, but there's some sheep that won't come. You know that. I mean,
yes.
There's several parables that Jesus offers about people who go look for the lost sheep, to look for the people who don't want or don't either don't know they need, whatever. They've wandered off. And so there's a part of us, part of me is committed to go and try to reach people who are not listening. This time has been really challenging in a lot of ways, because I have part of what I do is in the prison ministry. Been going in with assistant chaplain, Siegfried Bill. He goes in and teaches at the prison. Right now, he's not allowed in, like I'm not. And it was interesting. We had a little interchange, and he says, "It's kind of strange, man. I miss prison." And you think, what? It's being able to go and share. There's an opportunity. People are sitting there, and they like hearing from people coming in and telling them about Jesus, and you're not able to go in. And so, yeah, prison's not exactly where you want to go, but it sometimes is from us, from our perspective, I'm willing to go in there. Certainly can go in people's houses. Certainly you can go and talk to people. So we can share this. We have some story. We have the story. It's not just story. It's not just a fictional. This happened. Who Jesus is really happened. It changed my life. It made all the difference for us. And now we have something we can share with others. So I think that's part of that reaching the lost, reaching the sheep that don't want to even hear sometimes.
Yep. And I think part of our role on the shepherding too is how do we make more people like that? How do we how do we become a people who want to go into the prisons, people who want to go into the homes? How do we, our default state is, we're all people. We're just all people. And there's the sinful nature we struggle with. And that's to do what's comfortable for me, to do what's pleasant for me. And how do we get to a state where in our heart, what do I take joy from is loving and serving others? That's a big challenge. I think we've been talking quite a while. I'm going to just close out with a couple of personal commitments to the church,
okay.
And then I'll turn it over to you for the rest of the time.
Sure. All right, just briefly.
I just want to let you all know that I'm intending to work with the other elders here and the other leaders here of all types in complete unity. I intend to, one of the things I think we face right now is we have a lot of young people here who are standing ready to get involved in ministry. And it's how do we transition? You know, we've had a lot of ministry that's been done by the same people for 30 and 40 years. How do we transition that to the next generation? And I think that's going to be an exciting time for this church. How do we make that transition?
It is. I think some of the journey we discussed last year, the end of that was how do we go forward and how do we pass these things on, like you were saying. Part of this, right now, there's some specific things we want to mention. Right now, I want to mention Barian's plan. Barian Palmer has been working with us to reach out to people who have needs. And I want to make sure that if you know people who have needs, especially caused by COVID-19, loss of job, things like that, please let us know. There should be some information scrolling in front of you or going to be at some point. Won't be right now, but soon, I guess. If you know numbers, know ways to contact us, email addresses to get in contact with us, please let us know those things. Email would be a really good way to do that. So if you could email us at pat@centralfamily.org, and there will be scrolling of the email in front of those people. So if you send those emails in, let Pat know if somebody has a need. We want to make sure that the needs for people that are hurting financially. People right now also, just to make mention of this, the fact that on this Connections, we don't know if everybody that's listening knows Jesus the way we do. And really, there's a lot of people may be searching. So if you are in that category, if you're somebody who's searching and needing help and needing somebody to pray with you or to talk to you, go ahead and contact people now. Contact the church here. Please feel free to call, email the address that's been shown. We would love to talk with you. We'd love to put you in touch with people that would really would like to care for you. And also, I guess, we love you. And we really are thrilled to be part of this body, and we really do want to help and grow with you and look forward to the time together with you. So thank you very much, and we're going to pray. So if you'll bow with me. Lord, thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunities we have and the technologies we have now, of even while we're separated, we can be together. Lord, thank you for just loving us, for your mercy, for the hope that we have through Jesus. Lord, thank you for the life that he lived for us, the fact that he lived, he died, and then he rose again on the third day. And therefore, because of that, we have hope and we have life. Lord, all of this we ask, and we thank you so much for giving us your Son. Thank you so much for the hope we have. Thank you so much for this time this morning. And I pray your blessing on each and every one who's listening and everyone who's here, who wants to know you, who's coming to know you now. Lord, as those who are, I pray your blessing on maturity and growth within this body. Help us as men. Give us wisdom. Give us the strength and courage to speak boldly for what's true. Lord, help us to be your body here in this place and in this time, and so that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you so much again for your love and mercy and grace to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.